Right, Cynthia, thank you for participating in this interview. Can you start by telling me a little bit about yourself?
I had no knowledge or a particular interest in folk music until I met my husband. I was born in Leeds in 1944 and lived there for 20 years. And the things we used to do was go to jazz clubs and nights at the pub and things like that. So when I was 27, 28, I moved down to Dorset as librarian of Sherborne Library. And it was soon after that I met Bonnie, who was a member of the Yetis, and began to be aware of folk music. We married after about 4 years, and I still had not come into contact with Halsey Manor at all, but when our children were 4 and 6 in around 1983, the Yetis were invited down to do a weekend at Halsey. And we all, including, and to bring the family. So we all came to Halsey and were amazed at what a wonderful place it is.
Mm. Yeah. Can you tell me a little about what it was like then?
Well, from the outside, it looked very similar to today.
Mm-hmm.
And inside, it's not that different, except because it's got the basic structure, hasn't it? It's got the stone walls and the panelling inside. The rooms, the upstairs, are much more up to date now. A lot of them are ensuited, and in the Mews, they're all ensuited. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's all become a little bit more professional and probably well run. But it was always a very, very friendly place. You were always very welcome here. And it's like coming. It is a manor house, but it's a rather special manor house. I mean, it has a lot of history, and it's very beautiful, and you just get just settle into it, really.
Mm-hmm.
and you're were very well looked after, and we had a lovely weekend, and the children were. We were all a lot younger, and everyone that came to Halsey seemed a lot younger. we had a great time, and the children found it fascinating. The library is actually in a secret room off the lounge.
Mm.
Now it has a label on it saying Margaret Grant Memorial Library, but in those days it had nothing on the door. There's a little gold clip, and push that up and
because it looks just
yes,
part of the panelling.
And then there's a second door, and you go yes, it's all part of the panelling, and you're through into what is a secret room. So and that is the library with the most amazing ceiling. So not that I took that much interest in the library, to be honest. I was a librarian, but I think there's so much else going on that I never really gave it a thought.
So what kind of things were going on?
There's the dance and the song. I mean, Yeti's weekends include music workshops. I presume they were music workshops then. I can't really remember.
Mm-hmm.
And you would be dancing outside on the lawn and on the at the front here, the terrace. And we just explored the manor, really. And just fascinated by it, I suppose.
Yes.
And it was a very family orientated place. You know, the people who were running it had children, and we were just made to feel very at home. And people would wander down to the Crewe Arms at lunchtime and wander back. It's all very, very informal. I really can't remember an awful lot about those weekends, apart from the fact that we enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah.
And we came for about 3 or 4 years, and Yeti's. We were booked to celebrate the 21st anniversary. I remember we were here. Because we were in room... I don't know if every time we were in room 3, but that's the room I remember, which is the one with an arched, a domed ceiling with an echo, and it has windows looking towards the Quantocks, to the side of the manor and the front of the manor, and has a window seat. So you can sit in the window seat and read your book and look at the view. It is, it's gorgeous. So those were my impressions, yes. I really loved it. So.
Oh, that's great. But then you got involved with the library here at Hornsey.
Yes, well, that for a long time, because after those 3 or 4 years of doing weekends here, the Yetis weren't asked back because management changed, and mm-hmm. we weren't asked back until 1996, 1997, to do a weekend, and we came, and by this time our children were grown up, so it was just the Yetis and their wives. Part of the deal was that they could bring their wives along, because normally we didn't travel with them at all. We didn't go to any of their bookings, but we did come down for the weekends, and that started a series of weekends which have lasted up until 2011, right. When the Yetis retired in 2011, and Bonnie's done with Pete has done 3 or 4 weekends years since, and the last one will be in March.
Right.
But
so how did you get involved then in the library?
Well, it was because, Geoff Rye was always here at the weekends. He was the librarian, and he was really a driving force for Halsey. He and his wife, I don't think Halsey would be here if it hadn't been for them, mm-hmm. his wife Bessie. And he was the librarian here for 34 years.
Gosh.
Yeah, he had been chief librarian of Weston-super-Mare, and when he retired, he went to Africa and advised in the libraries there.
Mm-hmm.
But he was always involved with Halsey, and he was also on the committee at Cecil Sharp House, the English Folk Song and Dance Society, on the council there. But he talked to us to people about taking over the library, but he never arranged anything. And then suddenly he'd lost the sight of one eye during the war, and he lost the sight in the other, so he was blind, and he couldn't continue. So it was looking for someone who, and we were the ones who in the end took it over, because
well done, you.
Well, I didn't realise what it would entail. I just thought it would be a question of keeping stuff in order, you know, tidying it up from time to time. But it turned into something far more than that. So that's how, and that was about 1988-89. Mm-hmm. So this is our 16th year of doing it.
Gosh.
And we're looking now, thinking of what happened when Geoff mm-hmm. died, I'm looking for someone to take it over from me. And we have people who help us.
Yeah.
You know, there's someone putting cataloguing records, and Biddy does the archives, and I've got someone, there's another lady who works at the V&A and looked after photographs there. She's cataloguing our photographs, because we found some wonderful black and white photographs from the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And she's amazing, because she can look at a photograph and know who took it, you know, if it's someone of any merit, yes.
Mm.
So we've almost got a team in the library now, so it's we're moving that way. But what we need now is someone with a lot of IT knowledge, you know, that can do the next stage. I've always felt that we've salvaged what was here, because there was an awful lot of stuff in the basement, which is quite damp down there. There are an awful lot of records, you know, 78s and LPs, and all sorts of bits and pieces. And then once we took over, things started coming in from other people, and so we sorted through all of that and kept what was useful.
I suppose that's ongoing, really.
Yes, and the big thing was that, Geoff was a brilliant cataloguer, and I'm saying it again, but he catalogued so thoroughly, and you realise, but it was on cards, and really it needed to be computerised.
Mm.
So what we eventually did was created a database, and put all the records onto the computer. But we had to, when we first took over, because Geoff had grown old with the library and hadn't, I think, for about 8 or 10 years, probably hadn't done an awful lot in there. It had got very dusty and the labels were falling off the backs of the books. And he was very frugal and the magazines were kept in cereal boxes, meaning Kellogg's boxes. And he used two sides of a piece of paper. You know, if the archives have got bits of information and you're not quite sure which side is the bit you that is important, because he always used a sec. He never threw anything away, you see. So... so we've gradually worked our way through the library that was there, and Bonnie put new labels on the spines of the books, and I repaired them. And so there were multiple copies of something, so we cut that down to three. We decided to keep three copies because we didn't know how it was going to be used. Mm-hmm. And gradually worked our way through that, and someone kindly donated a computer. The first one we were given was condemned. It was totally useless. But then someone very generously paid for a new, brand new computer. Wonderful. And we had a manager at that time who was very supportive of us, and he organised it all. And so we started putting things... I had a friend who created the database. She'd done one for the Somerset and Dorset Family History Society, and I realised that that would suit us very well. And we created... it together, you know, refined it for this library. Mm-hmm. I had thought we would use the same system as at Cecil Sharp House at the Vaughan Williams Library, but they're using quite an outdated cardboard system, and there was no one to actually show us how to use it or set it up.
You don't want any more cereal packets, really.
No. So Delia created this database for us, which has been absolutely brilliant, and we started putting the bookstock and records and that we had here onto the computer, and we just finished that, and we were donated the Kennedy collection, which was a library of 11,000 items. I mean, what was here already, I would say, was about 1,800, but it consisted of around 3,000 books, supposedly 6,000 LPs and 78, and other non-book materials, CDs and so on. Well, that was a huge, huge task that we had to, and we had no room for it, really. But we went to the Somerset and Dorset Family History Centre in Sherborne, because they just moved into new premises and they had a big loft space, and we were able to put it up there. And I worked through it in Sherborne and brought it here, and we gradually catalogued it and put it into stock. That was the book stock. All the records, the LPs and the 78s, came here and were stacked in cupboards and corners around the manor. So we gradually worked our way through. That was in the end of 2006. And I think it took us about 6 years to get... 5 years, say, to get all the material, all the book material, onto the computer. The library, it wasn't 3,000, because it was his own personal library, so it had non-folk material, and we actually sold quite a lot of it after we had, because it was given to us on the understanding we had to keep everything unless we already had two copies. So we negotiated with the Kennedys, David Kennedy, his son, and we were allowed to sell it. So unless it was very valuable. And then I think he thought we should give it back to him, but there was nothing that was so excessively valuable. And so we sell, and we raised quite a bit of money that's gone into the library fund.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yes.
What about all the things that you've come across in the library? What has any sort of special resonance for you? What have you come across that for you has been really interesting?
Well, there was the William Winter manuscript, which was... Jeff Rye had bought it, and it is almost our... Apart from the Ruth Tung collection, which we've got her unpublished manuscripts, it's our only ever original manuscript. And it was... We knew we had it, and that during the time Jeff gave up, it had disappeared. And someone said they put it somewhere safe, but they couldn't remember where. And I eventually found it in a cupboard on the back wall of the under the bookcases, on the back wall of the manor. So, in the library. So we retrieved that, and after a few years, someone came along and wanted to transcribe it, and it's been we've published it and sold. About 1,500 copies of it. I'm not sure if it's that many, to be honest. But yeah. And a lot of copies have been sold, and it's the song, the tunes from the 18th... Which century is it? Yeah. Country dance and popular tunes from the manuscript of a 19th century Somerset village shoemaker. From the 19th century. So
this is wonderful. I know I've come across it before.
Yes, and the musicians really like it. And it's been published with a CD, so that was a very successful
and special.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Oh, I mean, I'm not. I'm still not a folky.
Shh, I won't tell.
I enjoy folk music and I loved dancing, but I'm not very good at it and I can't sing, but I love hearing other people sing. But
I think your contribution to the library has been absolutely.
Well, I sometimes think I got through all these books, particularly the Kennedy stuff, because I haven't got this specific interest and I just look at it as a book that has to be dealt with. And and someone else would never have finished because they'd have kept being sidetracked.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the people with the really... And Bonnie does all the cataloguing because he knows the subject. I classify them, which is a library of... It won't really interest people, but it's not the usual due you come on in public libraries. It's the Library of Congress classification scheme, which is used in academic libraries. They use it at the Vaughan Williams Library as well. So it's quite... It takes you a while to get your head around it.
No, well, I think your contribution to
No, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And one of the great things is when you're working in the library, you can... I mean, there's nothing on this afternoon, but there's often music playing. Mm-hmm. And I suppose our memorable type... The Northumbrian Pipers, you know, you get 50 of those, and they're playing in the long room, so the music sort of... echoes through the manor, and it's lovely. And all the musicians, really, it's lovely to have them hear them singing, and then it's very satisfying when you find songs or tunes that we helped at Give Voice Weekend a few months ago, and we found a song for someone that she'd been looking for, a particular version of a song that they'd been looking for years, you know, and that's really makes it all worthwhile, really. And it is so much part of our heritage, and you do feel it's important because we're preserving and conserving it, and hopefully people are using it to support the courses all the time. And the folklore, which Biddy is particularly interested in, we have in the Marden room, and we have storytellers have courses here now, and they use that a lot, and the Folklore Society's library has been mothballed, and so they find that our collection is one of the best that they can access. So again, that makes it very worthwhile.
Well, I was going to say, could you explain the importance of your folk traditions to you personally, but I think
think it's very important, don't you? I think my generation were brought up on maypole dancing at school and singing the songs, and the current generation doesn't have that. And it's really important, I think, that they're still available. I mean, folk is an oral tradition, but because people are not passing on these songs from grandparent to child, and so on, it has to be preserved in libraries, I suppose. You know, to make sure that it's preserved, you need them in libraries.
Have you got a particular song that's a favourite for you?
Oh, I quite like Lyndon Lee, actually. It was quite interesting to see Biddy. I was brought up in primary school in Leeds, and at my last year at school, we had a piano in the classroom, and we sang songs, and one of them the three that I most remember were Men of Harlech, Waltzing Matilda, and Lyndon Lee. And well, I think, that's right. And I think Lyndon Lee always I like the idea of you know free to roam and come back. And so I've always liked the sentiments of Lyndon Lee, and I suppose that is one of my favourite ones. But then there's another one called Farewell She that Bonnie sings, and there's the one the ladies who dance at Whitsun, which is very, very sad because it's the ladies who are left single because of the First World War. And it's about the ladies who kept the folk dance traditions going because that there are no men about. You know, there are songs that I
that touch you in a particular way. Well, thank you so much for giving this interview. It's been really interesting for me to hear
your
side. Absolutely, yes, it's been lovely. Is there anything else that you feel that you pressed to tell
me? No, not really, no.
Well, again, thank you very much.
That was fairly painless.